Okay, so yesterday we were discussing, the Gemara tells us over here, commenting on the Mishnah at the top of the Adam Abbas, that to pay Nezikin was Shaveh Kesef, something that is worth money, which applies as opposed to Kesef itself. So the Gemara says, of course you pay Nezikin with Kesef itself, with cash itself. Rather, what it's talking about is going after properties that have already been sold, or after the party who caused the damage that already passed away, and now you're going to go to the next generation. So we only collect, there's only a lien on his properties, which are Shavei Kesef, as opposed to the cash, as opposed to the Kesef itself. So if he passed on cash to his descendants, that we can claim for prior debt, for the Nezikin that occurred when their father was alive. But properties, there is a lien on them, and therefore we can go after them for a hezek that occurred while the father was alive, or before a property, even if it occurred with the mazik, and then the mazik sold the property, we'll go after the property later. So, but why does the Mishnah then refer to karka as shove kesef? So, the Gemara says, well, on the one hand, it's really different than every other item which you could bring anywhere else in the world with you. You know, even commodities are similar to cash, in that I could bring it to somewhere in the world, would it be worth money? So it travels, as opposed to karka, which doesn't travel at all. But initially, the Gemara suggested that perhaps karka is described as shove kesef, because it's shove kol kesef shabalam. My mashma, davar hashove kol kesef, something which is worth all the money in the world. My nihu davar shein lo no. It's referring to an item where there's no, the property, the principles of overcharging and undercharging don't apply. Normally, again, just to review, if a person overcharges by less than a sixth, so you don't have to return anything. If you overcharge by exactly a sixth, so then the sale is valid, but you have to return the amount that you overcharged. And if it's more than a sixth, then the entire sale falls apart. So those rules don't apply to karka. It's davar hashove kol kesef, it's worth all the money in the world, and therefore ain lo ono. That's perhaps why the Mishnah referred, one reason why the Mishnah referred to karka as shove kesef, because it's worth all of the money in the world. The other reason is, because commodities, any commodity, even avodah min shtaris, I can move to somewhere else in the world and find the place where it's valuable. Karka doesn't go anywhere, it stays in its place, so it's worth money, but it's not similar to money at all. But before the Gemara got to that conclusion, the Gemara assumed it was called shove kesef, because it's worth all the money in the world, and in that there is no onah. The rules of onah don't apply. Why don't the rules of onah apply? It's exeris akasif, the post extends of harsh's bar in connection with onah. Okanu miyada misecha, davar nikna miyad liyad. Something which you can pass from hand to hand, as opposed to karka that doesn't pass from hand to hand. However, Tosis told us over here, there in Matzko Dovar, and this is Shitas HaTosis throughout Shas, that even though the regular rules of onah don't apply to karka, there is a limit. Yesh gvul, if you overcharge by more than a half, then the sale is batel when it comes to karka. Even when it comes to karka. For other items, more than a sixth, it's batel. Karka, it's more than a half. The Rambam, as we saw last time, the Rambam's opinion was, and that's the opinion of the Rif also, that no, by karka there's no onah, more than a sixth. And the Rambam said, even if you charge 1,000 times what the price is, it's worth 1 dinar, and you charge 1,000 when it comes to karka, doesn't matter. Eino no bekarkos, the sale is never invalidated. So we wanted to understand what exactly is perhaps the point of dispute here between the Tosis and the Rambam. If again, what are they arguing about? If I overcharge karka, normally it's not subject to the rules of overcharging. What if I overcharge by an exaggerated, an obscene amount? More than half. So Tosis holds, no, at that point the sale is invalidated, even though the regular rules of overcharging don't apply. And the Rambam said, no, you can even charge by 1,000 times. Overcharge by 1,000 times. Oh no, it never applies to karka. So in order to understand this, we moved over, this is where we concluded last time, to a different halacha. Let's say it's not overcharging, but the weights and measures are off. So when weights and measures are off, the Gemara said in Masechtas Kiddushin, also the rules of overcharging and undercharging don't apply. If it's off by one, that's it. Sale is off. No sale. Why is it any different than overcharging and undercharging? I overcharge you by less than a sixth, the sale is valid. It's not nice, whatever. We'll get to if you can't do that, you can't do that. Overcharge you a little bit. Sale's not invalid. They don't have to return anything. But if I under-deliver you, you're buying 1,000 pieces, and you count them of a certain item, and I only deliver 999 pieces, the whole sale is off. Or if my pound, I'm weighing meat or produce, and my scales are off, the whole sale is undone. What's the difference? What's the difference between that and overcharging or undercharging? So Reb Chaim explains over here in his comments on the Rambam, Perek Tezvav Hilchos Mechira Locha Aleph, the following rule. What happens when a guy overcharges or undercharges? Let's say guy steps off the airplane in JFK, and he doesn't know anything about New York. He gets into a taxi. This was in the olden days, in my time. This is what used to happen. Now they have all these regulations. This can't happen. But he used to get into a taxi. Guy would say with some accent from some foreign, land, I'm going to Manhattan. The guy would say, it's $360, two times sky to get to Manhattan, from JFK. The guy would say, two times sky, so nice, And he would pay $360 to get to Manhattan. That's overcharging. Classic overcharging, right? Now they get away with it. You have to go to a booth, and they tell you how much it's going to cost, and then you get into the taxi, and then they're stuck with it. Certainly Uber, avoids all these things. Fine. But is anybody really stealing from anybody? No. When you got in the taxi, I told you it's going to cost you 20 times high. It's going to cost you 20 times high to get to Manhattan. I was upfront about it. It's not like I took you there, and then I said, it's $360. I told you before you got into the cab, $360. You agreed to it. You got in. You agreed. I agreed. There was no misunderstanding at all. The only thing is, you didn't know what the going rate is. You thought you're coming from, some other land, shekels. You thought 360 shekels, not so crazy in Eretz Yisrael from the airport. So that's what you thought. You didn't realize, dollars and shekels are different, whatever. You didn't know. So you're missing another piece of information, but it's not the same as where there's a lack of understanding between the parties. Where I had in mind one thing and you had in mind something else, we both had in mind that this taxi ride, where we're going, and we both had in mind, not that I took you on a tour of all of the five boroughs and I got there 5 hours later. No, that's Geneva Mamish, because but over here you understood how long it's going to take, but we didn't know the scale of pricing. But we both agreed. That's not the same, says Reb Chaim, as two people who have two different things in mind. I have in mind 1,000 pieces. You only send me 999. That's pashut, not what I bought. I paid for 1,000 pieces. I was paying for a pound of pastrami. You only gave me 3/4 of a pound. Half of the thing is, whatever. You're buying one thing, and I'm delivering something else. Says Reb Chaim, then we don't have das on the kinyan. I have in mind one thing, you have in mind something else. That's called a classic mekaftos. I buy a car, I have in mind that the car is going to work. I get home, and the lights never turn on. That's not what I had in mind. I had in mind the car that the headlights work. That was the understanding when I bought it. I don't even have to say, by the way, the headlights work, right? It's obvious that a car, the headlights should work. It's things that people assume in the market of buying cars, that the headlights are going to work. If they don't work, that's just not what I had in mind. So, or if, the trunk doesn't open, you can't get home and say, the trunk doesn't open. I didn't know you wanted a trunk that opens. No, it's all understood. Everybody wants that. So then I had in mind one thing, you had in mind something else. That is a classic mekachtos. The sale gets undone. So that's the halach of a difference in Mida and Mishko. I was buying 1,000, you deliver 999. I was paying for a pound, you deliver 3/4 of a pound. As Reb Chaim says, there's no das on the kinyan. Ona is different. Says Reb Chaim, look over here in the second line. Mishum de b'chol ona shtus. I mishum din tos halo shtus shavu lepachos mishtus. Da yitzarech liyos hamekach kaim kmo shepasku zem zeh. The sale should be valid by every ona, even if it's more than a sixth. Why? Where we hold the more than a sixth, the sale goes back and then, it's undone. It should not have been undone. We all agreed to it. Yes, it was gross overcharging and you were, grossly misinformed. But you agreed to it. V'hadi v'shtus ma'asar ono, hurak m'gzeres ha'kosev b'fnei atzma ha'ner b'ambo ono, shtus kana u'ma'asar ono. Shtus, sale is valid and you have to return the ono. If it's more than that, you don't have to return the ono. By the way, this would only be the case if there was a misunderstanding in terms of there was a lack of understanding in terms of what the general pricing is. Let's say I go to a ballpark and they charge you $5 for a cup of soda. If I literally walk 30 feet outside of the ballpark, it's less. So is that overcharging? No, that's not overcharging. It's not ono. Why? I agreed to do it. And I'm well aware of the scale of pricing outside of the ballpark. Inside the ballpark is a separate place. Look over here. The Mishnah says in Maseches Erchin, Echad Amakdish Nechazav Echad Amarech Atzmo. A person who donates something to the Beis Hamikdash or even his own value, Ein La Ekdash Al Mekayim of a Shaita. How is the value of yourself determined? based on the time and place. Pricing is determined based on the time and place. It used to be, I remember, crossing, what was this bridge over here that you get to Riverdale? It was 15 cents. I'm not that old. Whatever it was, 25 cents. I don't know what it is, 4.50 now. If you want to go to Riverdale, you have to go over some little toll booth. And you used to have to throw change into the thing, right? Now, okay, is that overcharging? No. Every time, you know, prices change based on the time and place. A couple, you know, a can of soda over here, you know, in the middle of Manhattan will cost you one thing. It'll cost you another thing at the Pathmark and the ShopRite. It'll cost you another thing in, you know, in Florida. And it'll cost you another thing in the ballpark. The ballpark is like its own state. We all understand that there's different pricing. Everybody understood what was taking place. Even if you didn't realize that a can of soda 30 feet away is different than a can of soda in the ballpark, that's the price that you pay in that location. And if, let's say, you know, you're aware of the pricing, and we all agree that this is, you know, this is the price that we're going to charge for this scenario, you know, for this setting, you want to come to my house, it's going to cost you this amount of money, and you agree to it, and you're aware of the pricing outside, that's not enough. You go over here into the cafeteria, they charge you one thing. Even over here in the grocery store, it's something else. It's like the ballpark. You're paying for the cost of eating in the cafeteria and the ambiance and the environment that we have here. And that's part of what you're paying for. No different than buying a soda in the ballpark. We all understand that. Ona is something that is agreed to. Even when there's overcharging, it's something that's agreed to by everybody. The only time it's ona is when, even in this place, there's really a different price, just you didn't know about it, but you fundamentally agreed to the sale. Oh, so says Reb Chaim, that's only a gzeiras hakasav, that the mekach is batel more than a sixth. And that gzeiras hakasav does not apply to karka. That gzeiras hakasav does not apply to karka, but that's why ona is different than a typical mekach tos, where I have in mind one thing, you deliver something else, I have in mind one thing, you have in mind something else. You know, with the understanding was one thing and you deliver something else, that's a mekach tos, because we didn't have in mind for that kind of sale. I don't mind one thing, you're going to mind something else. Here, we all had a mind for something, just, you know, I didn't realize what the pricing was. You know, I didn't realize, you know, what the general pricing is and that you are going above and beyond what the general price is. Every place, though, is different. So the ballpark is not ona, the cafeteria is not ona. But if on the street, you know, one store is selling one thing, the other store is selling something else, you know, and one is closer to the airport and it's getting people who don't know the general pricing, that would be ona, even though he agrees to do it. No one's forcing, no one's compelling you. He did it consensually. It's gzeiras hakasav that overcharging is prohibited. That rule does not apply. That rule does not apply to karka. And that rule does not apply to karka. Perhaps, look over here at the rush, perhaps that's why less than a sixth, you don't even have to return the ona. Because look over here, the rush says, V'yira, look at the Rosh, Perek Dalet Simchav and Bom Mitziv. V'yira, the B'chol Shar Dvar Mafil Pachos Mishus Asa La'ano Ses Chavero. He initially suggests even less than a sixth, even though you don't have to return the Ona, it's also to do it. Im Yesh Bo Shavar Pruto, if it's more than a Shavar Pruto, Kevin Shiyadu Hashem Mecho Shavar Kokach. You know that it's really not the proper amount. D'Rachman Amar Al Tonu, B'chol Dover Shiyesh Bo Shivu Imamu, he's here a Torah Shlo Yan Es Chavero. The Torah, anything that's worth a certain amount, Torah tells you not to overcharge. Al Shavar Mechachamim, Da'ad Shtus Havi Mechila. Most people are meichel if it's less than a shtus. If we shakach derek mekach umemkar, people are always, you know, off by a little. It's hard to know exactly, you know, if you really want to charge what things are worth, you'd have to go to the commodities market, and things probably change in value every day. But, you know, price of pork bellies and corn and whatever, you'd have to reprice everything every day. So that's not hard. Yeah, that's not easy. So people, you know, more or less round off. If you show a kach v'meichel, einam yichel mechavin demei mekach, but simsum v'derech ha'elam limchal tausam ad shtus. Most people are meichel even at, you know, until a six. Then he goes on and he says, no, maybe it's not even us, sir. Oh, Shema came in the derech, because that's how inflation works, Rabbi say. Everyone is always trying to make, you know, a little bit of money and to bump up the prices on their goods. So how can you ever bump up a price on whoever's going to be the first guy to bump up the price on his goods is going to be over and no. Right? Let's say pizza goes for, used to, right? I don't know what it goes for. It used to be $1.50 a slice. What is it? Now it's $2.50 a slice or something. What, $5 a slice? What are we up to now? $3.50 a slice. What is it over here in Grandma's?
Oh, something like that. $3.50.
Right. Okay, so over the years, it went from, what, $1.50 to whatever it is now. Oh, and there used to be Grandma's and Lecomo. So that establishes the marketplace. Whoever is the first one to go up by a quarter, is over there, no. Unless they decide to do it together, in which case it's collusion. But let's say that... One of them does it first, then the other one's going to follow suit. How's he allowed to do it? So, no. And the answer is, says the Rosh, there's always inflation in goods. Everyone's always trying to bump up the price of their things. So less than a sixth is just to allow for inflation. So he says, Oshema, Oshema, Kevin the Derek Mecca Kumemka Bekach, Lofamim Holokea Chafetz, Bemecca Zer. This guy wants pizza. Moisef, and you know, he thinks he sells better pizza. Moisef, Lofdamim, Yosef, Mikdesh, Vuyov. Sometimes I'll overpay in order to get something. Upamim Shamechem, Mizalza, Beshumaso. People are not buying it, so he will lower the price in order to encourage people to buy. So within a six, people will manipulate the price in order to get people to buy, incentivize sales, not sales, bumping up the price of goods. Or if you look at the Sefer Achinuch on the last line of Oizdawit, he says about Pokos Mishtus, he tirits a chredim levrocha. It's mamish heter gomer, lishtaka the tagarim, they tikan a yishuv. In order to allow for people to have some inflation in their prices, then because there's that incentive, I'll provide and open more pizza stores because I can make a profit. Okay, so in order to give them some profit margin, you have to allow people to overcharge a little bit, undercharge a little bit, make sales. All of these things are part of the general understanding, and that's what the sixth is all about. Fine. But these rules of overcharging are not the same as Mekach Tos. Mekach Tos, we all understand what we have in mind. We're not on the same page. I'm thinking one thing, you're thinking something else. Oh no, we're all on the same page. I agree to this, you agree to that. Just it's different than what the general marketplace is dictating in that place. So until a sixth, people have the right to manipulate that, for their benefit. A sixth or more is already, you have to either return there or no, the whole sale is invalid. Why is the sale invalid? Not because we're not on the same page. We are on the same page. I agree to it. You agree to it. It's not a mekach tos. It's a gzeres hakosev avonah. That doesn't apply to karka. So listen, chaver. So Baruch Be'er claims, Taisus says, how far can we take this? Really? Really? A guy overcharges by 50%. So can we still say everybody had in mind for the sale, I was on the same page as you. Just, I wasn't aware of the general marketplace, but it's not a mekach tos at all. Or maybe there's a certain point where you just get to where, the fact that you overcharged me to this degree is just, I didn't know that. And that's already, if I had known that, I never would have gone through with the sale in the first place. Meaning if I had known that the marketplace was going to dictate, that I was overpaying so much for this item, you can't say, well, I have in mind the sale, you have in mind the sale, there was no misunderstanding between the two of us, and therefore the sale is kind. The only reason the Mekach is bought more than a sixth because of Exeris HaKasav, in which case that doesn't apply to Karka. Taisvis claims, at a certain point, if I had known this, I never would have gone through with the sale if I was overpaying that much. So now it becomes back to I was buying 1,000, you delivered 999. It's a classic Mekach Tos, because if I had known this, I never would have gone through with the sale. So Taisus feels, yes, Karka is exempted from the general rules of that's where it's Exeris HaKasav. But if it's Pashut HaMekach Tos, I was buying one thing, you delivered something else, I'm buying a property in Manhattan, you deliver me Detroit. No, that's we have no one here from Detroit, right? No insult anybody. That's a Mekach Tos. Chashav HaKoyel in Detroit, we're not discussing that. So that's Pashut HaMekach Tos. So Taisus feels, yes, Karka is excluded from the general rules of Oinah, but come on, Yesh Kavul. More than a fifth is already a classic Mekach Tos. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds Karka Onoa never applies to it. Even if you overcharge by 1,000 times the going rate, the marketplace in that place and time. Why? So Baruch Be'er explains, because according to the Rambam, the only reason Onoa applies is at some point, or Taisus feels that Onoa applies to Karka, even though Karka is generally excluded from the rules of Onoa, is because at some point you can't match the price with this item. I never would have paid that price for this item. If I had known that was the going rate, I never would have paid that price. The Rambam feels Karka never has that disparity. People, you never know how valuable real estate can be. So as the Argamara told us, Karka is Davar Hashavek Kol Kesef. If a person paid, a certain amount of money for a piece of property, even if it's exorbitant, even if it's 5 times, 1,000 times the going rate for that piece of property, Karka has an unlimited value. So therefore, there's never this kind of, this price never matches this item, or no one, even if you knew the going rate, I can't necessarily say with absolute clarity and certainty that you never would have gone through with the sale, because Karka has no ceiling to its value. Look over here. It says the Sefer Achinuch, and then I'll get to your point. Sefer Achinuch says over here, I doubt about Ikar Azhar, Bein Bekarka, Bein Bemetaltalin. Who Be'emeshus Harnu Shalola Hanos Habrios Ladas. You're not supposed to overcharge people knowingly. Ava Achinuch Shebeinayim Hu. Shem Nimtse Sayinah Bemetaltal Be'yasim Ishtoshi Yvatal Amekach. If it's more than a sixth, the Mekach is Batel. Shadas Habrios Shalol Lizbo Ono Yeserim Yikem Bemetaltalin. No one is willing to overpay to that degree for Metaltalin. Up to a six, I understand people manipulate markets back and forth, sales, not sales, whatever. But at a certain point, you know, inflation, but more than a six, people are going to be like, no, I would never pay that much for Metaltalin. Ava bekarka lefisha karka dover kayam li'olam derech habrios limchobo. Karka is not a consumable item. It will be here forever. When you buy karka, you own it, litzmisus. So therefore, it has an unlimited value. There's no ceiling to its value. You can't exhaust karka. And therefore, it could be worth anything in the world. And that's what our Gemara means, al derech ha'afloga. You know, and our Gemara means it not literally, but figuratively, ha'karka davar ha'shava kokes. If it could be worth all the money in the world. Because there's no ceiling on the value of karka. So the Rambam feels you really can't say it's a mekach tos when it comes to karka. Why is there ono by other items? Because this price just can't match this item. You can't have, you know, as if the going rate for a value of a soda on this street, in this place, is X, it can't be, you know, X plus a six. The price just doesn't match the item. So Torah calls that overcharging. Karka? Karka could be worth whatever you pay for it. That's what it's worth. That establishes a new market. That's how markets and, you know, housing prices always work. If someone pays it, that's the new market. All you need is one, you know, all you need is one buyer to pay a certain amount, and that props up all the real estate prices. So if a guy's willing to pay that, that's the market value. And there's no ceiling on real estate, as we see in our times. There's no ceiling on real estate. So therefore the Rambam feels, even if it's more than a sixth, even if it's more than half, even if it's 1,000 times the going rate in this place for this kind of property, it doesn't matter. Ain't no nub, because you can never say with absolute certainty you never would have gone through with the deal, because there's no ceiling on the value of karka. Yeah.
It sounds like from Joseph's opinion that he's assuming the guy doesn't know he's being overcharged.
Oh, he doesn't. If he does, then that's not overcharging. That's called the new market value.
Right, but then it seems like by the Rambam and
Sefer. No, he might have no choice, meaning you're holding me hostage. But if you're the only guy who has goods in this area
right. That
I can buy, then you really are the market. And then you just, I mean, that's what Yankee Stadium is all about. We're
right.
The only provider of goods in this place, and we establish our own market.
But maybe you can say that, like the Rambam Sefer Chanuch seem to be saying that they know about the market price. Like, they know that, you know, this piece of property, it's not worth, you know, the $100,000 they're paying for it.
Right.
It's worth $20,000.
Right.
But they know, like, it seems like they're in Tosfos, like, you know, maybe you can say Tosfos.
Correct. Even if they know. Even if, let's say it's 2 in the morning and I need it. And the only store that's open at 2 in the morning is this. I don't think we would call that a new marketplace. You know, this. Maybe you have to pay more for goods at night than you would, you know, because I'm paying you to be open 24 hours
right.
a day. Yeah, but it's generally when, it could even be when you know about it, but it's generally when you don't know about it. But even if you know about it, again, the question is, do you know about the overcharging? You clearly know about the sale, and you clearly know about the sale price,
right.
And you clearly, there's no misunderstanding in terms of what you got and what you paid. Mekach Tos is generally when there's a misunderstanding about what you got or what you paid. Yeah? So over here, though, Tosis claims, come on, that other piece of information can sometimes, you know, the fact that you didn't know the market value at a certain point, more than a fifth already is a mekach tos. And perhaps the Rambam argues, no, since karka has an unlimited value that we can ascribe to it, there's no ceiling. You can't really speak of a mekach tos when it comes to karka unless there was a misunderstanding in terms of what you're going to pay or what you're going to receive. Not the market value. Maybe that's what they're arguing. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara over here. So Gemara at the bottom of the Yadam Abayz comes in the next line of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah says, Shum Kesef, again, we have to evaluate the value of the damage that was caused, and that's what you have to pay. You don't take, you know, the parah in place of the talus in place of the parah. Then you have to pay with Shave Kesef. If you're collecting from the person's inheritors, then you can only collect karka. You can't collect the cash that he passed on to the next generation. Karka is called Shave Kesef. It's worth all the money in the world. And it has to be Bifnei Beis Din. You can only collect Nezikin if it's Bifnei Beis Din. What is that coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, Prat, isn't that obvious? Prat, L'moichin, Nechasev, Yachak, HaChay, L'chlein Beis Din. Let's say a person has properties upon properties, and then before he goes to Beis Din, he stashes them all, you know. He sells them all. Now he says, claimed, I'm broke. So Shema Mino, love it, Machana Chasav, Yachar, but the Beis Din ain't Beis Din Goyven LeMan. What? The Gemara says, what? Is this really true? A guy who sells his properties before he ever gets to Beis Din, the damaged, injured party has no recourse? I can go and seize those properties from whoever you sold them, because my lien predates your sale. It can't mean that we only evaluate the guy based on the whatever assets he has when he comes to Beis Din. No, once the damage occurs, there's a lien that's established on his properties. It's coming to exclude that you can't go before Beis Din of non-musmochim. Many of the halachas of Nezikin involve paying knas, penalties. We now have a Beis Din of Hedyotis. But they did not. I don't mean Hedyot in the colloquial sense. Hedyot is usually an insulting, you know. You're a plebeian. You're a commoner. You're a Hedyot. We don't mean Hedyot is never a compliment. So that's not what the Gemara means. Here, the Gemara means that people who don't have smicha, in order to adjudicate certain matters of monetary issues that involve penalties, you have to have smicha from Ish Meish from Moshe Rabbeinu. In order to adjudicate other monetary matters, it could even be bifnei hedyotis. People are tamid chachamim and know the chashim mishpat and know the dinim, but they just don't have smicha ish mi piish from Moshe Rabbeinu. So they're not supposed to adjudicate certain matters, but they can adjudicate. They can adjudicate penalties, knasos, but they can adjudicate other monetary issues. You know, where there's a loss involved. So prat lebeis din hedyotis is coming to teach us all monetary issues. Some of them, which are knas, which are penalties above and beyond the loss that you caused. So for that, you really need a proper Beis Din, and not a Beis Din of Hedyotis. Not a Beis Din of people who know halacha, but don't have smicha. They can only adjudicate, you know, certain matters of monetary issues, where there's a loss, a real loss, and they're going to collect the loss. But other than that, they really can't adjudicate all monetary issues, the entire gamut, the entire spectrum. They can't take kefil. Nowadays, a guy comes to Beis Din, you can't collect kefil. You know, two times what was stolen. That's a knas. We don't impose knasos, or Tom, that it pays Chatzi Nezek, according to some opinions, is a knas. We don't adjudicate those matters today. We only adjudicate matters where there was a real loss that was involved. All right, so you need a Beis Din of Musmach, not a Beis Din of Hedyotis. Then the Gemara says, coming to the next line in the Mishnah, Al Piedim, that you have to have witnesses there. Again, isn't that obvious? Of course you have to have witnesses there. The Pasuk says, Al Pishnaim Edim. All monetary issues require two witnesses. No, obviously coming to exclude something unique. There have to be edim there who initiate the chiyuv. If I come to Beis Din and I'm moide that I stole something, so moide beknas, we're going to get to the Gemara later on, moide beknas is potter. Because the Pasuk says, Asher yashino okim, prat l'marshiya satzmo. Person has to they have be found guilty by the judges to impose a knas. It can't be that you admitted it on your own. Huh?
Like, well, can you say then he goes through the whole process? Like if he admits to it, then he goes through the whole process, then
So let's say Edim come afterwards. We didn't need your admission. We had Edim. So that's a machlek. It says, Maida b'knas v'achkach bo Edim pater ochayiv. So our mission might be telling us, Al pi Edim, the chiyuv has to be initiated by Edim, not initiated by you. Prat l'maida b'knas, that's no different than you know Moed Beknas Potter. The fact that Edim came later doesn't change the issue. So Hey Nich Laman Diyomer Moed Beknas VeAchach Bo Edim Potter. That's one opinion of the Gemara. And Laman Diyomer Moed Beknas VeAchach Bo Edim Chayev. The only time you're Potter based on your own admission is where that's all we have to go on is your admission. But if witnesses come later, so then we don't need your admission. Then you are Chayev. Also, then what's our mission coming to exclude? Al Pi Edim. It can't be coming to exclude if your admission precedes the Edim that you're Pater, the Chiyuv has to be initiated by Edim. Maybe our mission is following the opinion that if Edim comes subsequently, you will be Chayiv. So what does it mean? What does our mission mean to include or to exclude by saying that the Chiyuv has to be established by Edim? So Ikalameimar Sefer Tzrichalei. No, it's part of the beginning of a continuing phrase. Al Pi Edim. Who are the Edim? B'nei Chorin u'B'nei Bris. They have to be freemen. And they have to be Jewish. That's what it means. Al pi edim, and the Mishnah continues, b'nei chorin u'b'nei bris. They have to be free men and Jewish. Who is that excluding? L'mu'ute avadim, b'nei bris, l'mu'ute, b'nei chorin, I'm sorry, l'mu'ute avadim. They have to be free to exclude avadim, b'nei bris, l'mu'ute avadim. and they have to be Jewish to exclude non-Jews. V'tzricha, why do I need both? D'yashmin an Evan mishum de'en lo yachas. An Evan has no relationship with his parents. I don't know why that makes him unbelievable when it comes to monetary issues, but he has no relationship with his parents, because the pasuk says, Shvulachem po machamor, Avram Avinu says to Eliezer, who is his Eved, Shvulachem, and he's going to the Arkadah, Shvulachem po machamor, Am Adem lechamor. Just like a chamor is not related to his parents, so too an Eved is halachically not related to his parents. But an Achri might even be, Kivir Aviemi might be chayvin. Av Anachri, the Yesh lo yachas, he is related to his parents. I don't know why that makes him more believable when it comes to monetary issues. So, Emeloi, maybe he would be kosher liedus. V'yashmin anachri mishum de lo shayach b'mitzvahs. Anachri is not only chayv in seven mitzvahs. An eved is chayv in mitzvahs ki isha. An eved is a half ger. So he's chayv in mitzvahs like an isha, which is in many of the mitzvahs. He's just exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. So the shayach b'mitzvahs, say malay, maybe he would be kosher liedus even though the nachri is pasul. So like tzricha, we needed both. So who's kosher when it comes to dinei mamonis? Only Jews and only free men. Rabbi says, is that a chiddush to anybody here? That nachrim are apostle yedus? That's such a chiddush. Did we know that from elsewhere? Yeah, we knew from elsewhere that nachri is no good yedus. So why do I need a mishnah here to teach me? By the way, nachrim are apostle yedus. We said, wow, we needed to say avadim or nachrim. I might have thought one and not the other. But we know nachrim are apostle yedus. We know an eved is apostle yedus. These are halachas throughout Kol Torah Kula Masechta Sanhedrin, and nachri is not kosher for any yedus. Why would I think over here that the Mishnah has to go out of its way to tell me that Anachri is possibly Yedis? Of course Anachri is possibly Yedis. So that's the question that the Rishonim asked. This is not a Chiddush. We have this in Masechta Sanhedrin. Anachri is possibly Yedis, of course. What's the Chiddush over here? So says the Rosh. Come and look over here. I say, says the Rosh. B'nei Chayrin u'b'nei Bris l'mu'utei avadim v'avdei kechavim. Okay. Sal gadai t'chamino in order to recuperate the loss, I would have thought that we should believe everyone. That's what the Rosh says. The guy needs to recuperate his loss. He suffered a loss. So we believe whoever we have to believe in order to allow the guy to recuperate his loss. That's one possibility the Rosh has. One possibility. I left it out, but if you look in the Rosh, assuming you test over there, I don't know why I left it out. And cut and paste enough. The Rosh says, Inami. That part of the Rosh I asked you to see. He says, the Shor Shel Nachri, Shenagach L'Shor Shel Yisrael, a Shor of a Nachri that gores a Shor of Yisrael. Who's going to be there, Chevra? A car accident occurs. Between a non-Jew and a Jew. Where is it? On the highway. You're not on the parkway on your way to Lakewood, where half the road is Jews. Yeah, somewhere. I don't know where you're going. What do you think? On the road, mainly Jews or mainly non-Jews? Not 17 on a Friday at 3 in the afternoon, or the parkway on Lakewood. You know. Who's going to be there? Mainly non-Jews. So how are you ever going to ever adjudicate a matter between a Jew and a non-Jew when it comes to Nezikin? If you're not going to believe a non-Jew, who else is there? Who else do you have, you know, to choose from? Inam the Shosh Anachri Shinagach LeShosh Yisrael. The Ein Mot Simin Anachri El Beidim Sherim. Who else is going to be there to collect, to serve as a witness? And simply the Rambam, look over here. The Rambam says, Parak Ches Vil Ches Nis Kemam Alok Yud Gimel. In order to adjudicate matters of Nezikin, you need proof. And kosher witnesses to give testimony. Shaloi Toimar, don't say, who's going to be where the camels are and where the animals are, v'gidros hatzoyin, el avodim v'aroim. Who else is there except for the avodim who are working in the fields? I'm upset. We have to believe them. Who else are we going to believe? Who else is there? You think you have a kailo in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the fields? Who's seeing this? This takes place. Who's there on the road? You have a kailo of Jews. You're going to have to believe non-Jews. You're going to have to believe the Avodim. It may either katanim or nashim, shahadim zeh, chavarat zeh. I'm going to have to believe the woman, the children, whoever happens to be there. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to adjudicate these matters. We don't have kashra edim everywhere or nezek takes place. No. Ein adover kein. Elo li arlam ein mechai ben moment al pi edim ad shiu edim akshayim lahoid until he's really a kashra ed. We don't say this svar. Even if no one else is there, doesn't matter. You need kosher edim. However, the Trumas Hadeshin discussion is a fascinating issue if you got to see it. Yeah?
Can we say that, I guess, the Rambam and maybe even the Rush, maybe a little bit of the Rambam, is talking about a case where there's most, like, you know, they make a differentiation between an area where there's mostly Jews and an area where there's mostly non-Jews? Because, like, you can say, like, by the Rambam, if you say that there's an area that's mostly Jews, then yeah, you would, you know, you need two kosher eating, but if let's say
it's not mostly anybody, it's whoever's there. Most of the time, no one's there. So you have slim pickings. Who are you going to choose from? At a wedding, I have the whole community there. Pick your kosher edim, gegazit. Have your pick a little off. Over here, if you're not going to take the witnesses who happen to be there, you're going to have nobody.
Right.
Please have a hard enough time with dealing with the witnesses that are there, getting them to testify and all this. So if we're not going to encourage people or, you know, expand our spectrum of who is available, valid witness, we're going to be stuck. However, so the Rosh and the Rambam claim that these things are no good. However, the Trumas Hadeshin dealt with, I've never had this in my shul, Baruch Hashem, a fight that broke out in the Ezra's Noshim. We've had fights in the Ezra's Anoshim. Never had yet a fight in the, had punches thrown. Never had yet in the Ezra's Noshim. That we haven't had. That we haven't had. But a fight breaks out. Someone gets damaged. Someone gets hurt. Injured. Who's going to testify? There's no man that could possibly testify, hopefully. Right? Hopefully. You're not there. That's the shaila that was presented to Trumas Hadeshin. Can we believe women in such a situation? So, Matzasi, who took me piske gadol din emenes hanoshim lahoyin la'amana, elo begadim lov shebehen b'chai habal, to say that these garments belong to her. Mishum de'eno hanoshim v'gil mustach v'gil hanoshim. Let's say a fight breaks out. Whose fur coat is this? No man is going to be able to testify, hopefully. He shouldn't really be spending time analyzing the fur coats that are worn by other people's wives. So who's going to testify that it's her coat? Her husband. She's an almana. Who's going to... If not women. Women are the only people who know the difference. Oh, it's this kind. It's a chintilly. It's a mink. I don't know. Who's going to know? Who's going to pay attention to this? Vivi Raya Mehodar Minon. He brings a proof. We'll get to it in a second. That there are gimel ne'amana ma'abachar. Who's believed to say two children are born at the same time, twins? Who's going to believe to say who's the bakar? The first, you know, Reuven or Shimon. One of them needs pity now, Ben. Who's there at the time? So the Gemara says in Masechtas Kiddushin, that an emenes al bechor. One of them is a chaya. That's the midwife. She's believed to say who's the bechor. How come on? The bemili de lo regili anoshim lemeida me'amin yonan lenoshim. Who else is going to be there to the midwife? I hope no one else's husband is there, right? When the woman is giving birth. Maybe he's a frum doctor, but otherwise, who else is going to be there? I feel afukim emayna ki hasim a big day almana. So over here says the Trumas Hadeshin, there were those who said we should even allow a woman to testify that this fur coat belongs to her, and she's wearing the wrong fur coat. Take it off and give it back to her. V'nira lo haviraya lo meminim lo nashim kai gamna from our Gemara Bava Kama. The Rambam says, why do we have to go out of our way to say edim have to be kosher when it comes to nezikin? But we have a Mishnah by Nezikin that Edom have to be kosher. You can't use Psuei Edus. Of course, if we don't have a Mishnah by a Kiddushin, you can't use Psuei Edus. We rely on the general rules of Edus, B'kol Torah Kula. Why then do we have to go out of our way by Nezikin to say it? We would have thought there's no one else there. We have to believe them. Came into Shamina in Tana, the Svara Loimar. Since the Tana already, was found such a Svara compelling. Wherever there's more Psulim than Ksheim, we should believe the Psulim. even though the Tana goes out of its way to say we don't accept all witnesses when it comes to damages, is lemeima hanimili gabi nezikin. Maybe that's only when it comes to nezikin where there are ksherim and psuim that are possible to be present. Dihamninu imkelo shavik chay lechobirio. Gabi nezikin, because if you're going to believe psuei edus, so then everything will be different. The kochoshet gazlin yaskir avadim onachim or yifat enoshim oktanim shiil lo chaveiro. Everyone's going to hire witnesses that are of ill repute. From here and there, poi v'sham, not as a general rule, but on a unique situation of a damage, an injury that took place in the Ezra's Noshim, a fight that breaks out about the mink stole, who does it belong to, Mrs. Schwartz and Mrs. Rabinowitz, whatever. We can adjudicate it based on the testimony of the women. We can believe them. As a general rule, we can't. That's what our Tana is telling us. But the Svara is really, is a good Svara. And we can accept it elsewhere. So similarly, and the Rama quotes this, I'm sorry. Look over here in Hilchos Chesh and Mishpat, similar Amid Hei. Ko Eilu Apsulim Psulim Afil B'mekamis Lo Shkikhi Anoshim Ksherim Lohoid. Everybody who's Pasul is Pasul, even if there are no Kasher Edim there. B'chol Tam Edina. Aval yesh aimim de takonas kadmainim hu de bemakam shein anashim regilim liyois pay v'sham in rare instances where there is absolutely nobody else who's there kagayim beis haknesa shal nashim od da b'shar davar akroi sheish regilim v'lo anashim women notice and men don't nashim ne menes women not believe. See, even though our Tana goes out of the way to exclude this svara, maybe it does make its way in somewhat. In different settings. Nezikin, we can't allow Avodah Menachem to testify. The whole system will be go awry. But elsewhere we can. Where else do you see this svar? There's two other places you see a similar svar. When there's no one else there, so we can believe even someone who would generally be pasul. Where do you see this? Perhaps in a Ramban and Masechtas Gittin. The Gemara tells Masechtas Gittin, turn the page. And that beis and beis, the general rule, eid echa ne'eman bisurin. When it comes to his food, kosher, or treif, if it deals with dine mominus, dine nefashis, you need two witnesses. What about when it comes to isurin? Is his food kosher? Is it not kosher? Other similar matters. Is it shatnez? Is it not shatnez? Is it, some other issue of believability? Is it sefer Torah kosher? Is it sefer Torah not kosher? So then it's enough with one witness. How do you know that rule? So Rashi says it's a svara. What's the svara? How else can you believe, how can you eat anything in your house? You're only eating stuff in your house based on the fact that your mother, your wife told you that it's kosher. If you need two witnesses to tell you food is kosher, you'd never be able to eat anything. I can't believe a shochet when he shechs an animal that the food is kosher. I'd have to have two witnesses there every time. The Torah would go out of its way to tell us this. So therefore, it says Rashi, it's a pashut svara, that it must be that eidecha nema bisurin. And it's a svara also that women are believed, even though women are normally pasul eidus. Otherwise, how can you believe your wife that the food is kosher? Tosfos is not happy with that. Tosfos wants a source. So Tosfos there in Gittin quotes a source. Uminalan eidecha nema bisurin yalfina minida. We learn that from Anida. Anida has to count 7 days and then go to the mikvah. After she sees Dam, so she has to count 7 days. Who counts the 7 days for her? Does she need witnesses that she counted the 7 days? No, the Pasuk says, V'safra la, lo liatzma, says the Gemara. Mesechtes Ksuvis, she counts by herself. No one else is involved in her counting. She doesn't need two witnesses, she doesn't need a Beis Din. Safra la, lo liatzma, says Taisus, if a woman is believed with regards to Nida to say that she counted 7 days and then she went to the mikvah, so all matters that are similar to Nida are Isav Heter, is she mutter to her husband, is she not mutter to her husband, is the food kosher, is the food not kosher, all matters that are similar to that, not to Mamanus and Dina Nefashis, it's enough with one witness, V'safra la, lo liatzma, that's the source. Ramban says, no, that's a terrible source. Why is it a bad source? Because who else can possibly do it when it comes to Nida? If not the wolf, the woman herself. Says the Ramban, Hosami after Shatavi Edom Upsika Zivasa Venidusos Firasul Tvigasa. Who else is going to testify about this except for her? So the fichach means the Torah. Therefore, the Torah allowed it. But Eila made the mimenu shari duyos klal. We don't learn out from here to other instances. Other instances. She ain't done an efshar. Me efshar. I could have two witnesses tell me my food is kosher. I could have two witnesses tell me the shechita is kosher. See, you can't rely on this as a source. V'safra lo, lo liatzma. Of course, because there's no other way. You can't have witnesses there. Hopefully there are no witnesses that know her, you know, cycle that could possibly testify. Oh, that's very different. So if there's no other witnesses, the Torah allows it. But if there are, you know, possibility of other witnesses, maybe we wouldn't allow it. So therefore, that supports the Trumas HaDeshen. If you're in a place where there are no other witnesses, the Ezra's Noshin, or it's about who owns this, you know, fur coat, is this mine, is it yours? Men, hopefully you're not noticing all these things. So then only a woman can testify. Maybe we would accept a woman. And the Rush also underscores the source that the Trumas HaDeshen mentioned earlier. The Gemara says, who's believed to say which child is born first, Yaakov or Esav? Who's the Bechor? Achaya is believed, the midwife. Why is the Achaya believed? Says the Rosh, V'tayma she'en l'hayr elahu, v'enach ha'yokha l'akiro, yofinu minei hu adin chaya v'imo. Who's believed? The father, because the father is going to be there. The mother is going to be there. And the Achaya is there. Who else is there when the woman's giving birth? Nobody. So those are the people who I believe. I can't ask, you know, the Rav to testify. Is this child of Bechor? Is that child of Bechor? Hopefully the Rav is not there when some other wife is giving birth. Oh. So when there's no other possibility, you see that we do stretch the limits a little bit of who's kosher and who's possibly in this. So that's why we might have thought when it comes to Nezikin, we could believe Avodim, we could believe Nachrim. Who else is going to be there? So we have a limited pool. Our Mishnah says as a general rule, we don't accept it. The Trumas HaDeshen claimed maybe under certain circumstances and unusual cases, there might be instances where we could accept it. So based on all this, there's a tshuva from Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel is famous for Svarim HaLomdos and things like that. But he has one tshuva to an aguna. The one tshuva to the aguna is a landmark tshuva. He has many chidushim in that tshuva. For example, he says there, he says, were it not for the fact that marrying an Eishes Ish was Yaharig Vo Yavar, it would have been mako for an aguna to get remarried even without witnesses that her husband is dead, because for her to remain in this state of being alone is equivalent to pikuach nefesh. To remain alone as an aguna. So he says, were it not for the fact that Eishes Ish is Yaharig Vo Yavar, Gilui Arayos, you have to give up your life rather than violate it, this would be a sufficient pikuach nefesh to allow one to violate one of the other Yisurim in the Torah to be stranded alone as an aguna. That's a fascinating svara. But then he has another argument there. He's discussing an aguna where there was no kosher witnesses to say that her husband passed away. By aguna, Chazal made a kula, it's enough with one witness, even if the witness is typically pasul. But not psulim deraisa. A nachri is no good for edus isha, to testify that her husband passed away. But the problem is, let's say he was dealing with a woman whose husband went out to war, never came home. Who's going to be in the army over there, in the Goyish army? It's not going to be Jews. It's going to be Goyim. So they had a document, the army documented the fact that he was killed in battle. I have no Jews to testify to that. And the only time you can accept testimony from a non-Jew is if it's a Mesiach Lefitumo. He happens to be saying over, you know, telling war stories and mentions the fact that this guy got killed without any recognition of the fact of the ramifications of that which he's saying. But if he does it in order to make us happy, to hear what we want to hear, then you can't believe him, generally speaking. So Rabbi Yosef Engel argued, but over here we should be able to believe the death certificate, the edus of the other soldiers who were there with him. Who else is going to be there, he says? Except for Nachrim, it's in a Goyish army. So who else is going to be there? You're not going to have a minion of Jews, you know, a koyo over there in the Goyish army. You're going to have to believe the non-Jews. So that's similar to the svar that we've been discussing. That since it's not possible to have kosher witnesses there, perhaps we can even believe the non-Jews. And many other Paiskim disagreed with him. That even though the Trumas HaDeshen says this, the Ramah says it's a Takonas HaKadmainim, which sounds like it's only a Din DeRabbanan, this is not really a Din DeRaisam, we can't be making an Agunan for this Svar. You know, when it comes to monetary issues, we have more leeway, because they have Hefker than Hefker. When it comes to undoing marriages, we don't have that same kind of leeway. So many Paiskim rejected that argument, but that was the argument of Rabbi Yosef Engel. Okay, Chabad, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to go on. Tomorrow, I'm going to be out of town. I have to go to Toronto for a wedding. So no shit tomorrow. But Thursday, maybe, then we'll have a longer, we'll have like a regular shiur. Exciting topic. If I'll send that Mar Mekaymus to do it tomorrow, then we'll have shiur on Thursday a little earlier. So we'll have Mar Mekaymus for tomorrow. All right, Chabad.